But first, it is time to focus on health. And today we're taking a closer look at Alzheimer's because September has been set aside, at least in South Africa, as the time of the year when government and other agencies focus and launch campaigns to raise awareness about this disease. I first encountered Alzheimer's when I was a first or second year student, I think, when a very close friend of mine's father was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. I didn't know much about it, but I have very clear memories of him always filling the pens in his pocket. He was always very neatly dressed. And I remember him not being able to recall who he was speaking to or having the same or starting the same conversation over and over again. And I just remember at the time thinking that his relatives and the family who I knew well was dealing with the whole situation with such grace and humor sometimes, also at a time when it must have been incredibly tough for them. In fact, if you've not seen the biographical film Still Alice, starring Julianne Moore, which deals with Alzheimer's, I can really recommend it. It's a very moving film, and I'm reminded of a quote from the movie, which I think partly sums up some of the dilemma of Alzheimer's sufferers. And at one point, the lead character says, and I quote, "I have no control over which yesterdays I keep and which ones get deleted," which I thought was such a poignant and beautiful way of saying that. But to find out more about this disease and what happens and what it's caused by, we're joined on the line by Jill Robson, who's the regional manager for the Western Cape at Alzheimer's South Africa. Jill, good afternoon and welcome.
Hi, thanks for letting me come on.
Absolutely. Could you start by clarifying the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's? Because I believe Alzheimer's is classified as a degenerative disease, but dementia is not.
Well, Alzheimer's is a type of dementia, and there are around 100 different types of dementia, and Alzheimer's is just the most common type of dementia. So we see in this country Lewy body dementia, vascular dementia, dementia, frontal lobe dementia. We probably see maybe 6 or 7, but Alzheimer's being the most common, about 60% to 70% of people will get an Alzheimer's type dementia.
What causes dementia? I beg your pardon. What causes Alzheimer's, and is it genetic?
There is a type that is genetic, but it's very, very rare, and we're not 100% sure why one person gets it and somebody else doesn't. So it's always tricky, you know, to find out the cause. It changes proteins, forms proteins in the brain, and that causes damage. So messages that used to go between two synapses, which carry messages, suddenly there's a blockage there and it can't do that. And for a while, the brain will make another plan and it will send the messages different ways. But it's only when those clumps of protein are so many that they really block thought and ability to remember things, that's when people really notice. I mean, I often speak to people and they say, yeah, we saw a couple of small things, but we just thought, oh, he's getting old, you know, it's fine. And then something really big will happen, like he'll forget how to drive the car, or he'll go for a walk and get lost. You know, something makes people think, oh, wow, maybe there's something more going on here than, you know, just getting old.
Jill, what are some of the early stage symptoms, and what should you as a family member be on the lookout for?
I mean, the first symptom most people see is memory loss, short-term memory loss. So they will remember things from 50 years ago like it was yesterday, but forget what they had for breakfast 10 minutes ago. And, you know, that will happen. I mean, we all have memories that don't work as well as we'd like as we get older. But it's different when it's a dementia or an Alzheimer's memory loss. It's very profound. You know, I'm telling them, but you just asked me that question. They will look at you completely flummoxed because they have no memory of asking that question. So that's usually the first thing people see. And often they'll think, well, you know, as I said before, it's okay, we're just getting older. And yes, to an extent, that's true, but it's more than that. It's memory loss, it's sometimes inappropriate behavior, wearing the wrong clothes for the season, unpacking and packing drawers again, you know, just doing what would seem to be weird things. And you might find the iron in the fridge or, you know, something weird. And when you say to the person, why did you put the iron in the fridge? They'll say, I never did. Because as a rule, people with dementia don't know that they're doing what they're doing. So there will be a great amount of denial that they've got a problem.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking health and wellness on Cape Talk, focusing today specifically on Alzheimer's because September is Alzheimer's Awareness Month. And I'm interviewing Jill Robson, who's Regional Manager for Alzheimer's South Africa. If you have questions or queries, Jill obviously can't diagnose anyone via the phone, but if you've got general questions, please do call in 021-446-0567. Also, if you've got anecdotes or comments to share, if you are living with a mother or father or uncle or sister or someone who is suffering from Alzheimer's, please let us know. What are some of the challenges? What kind of support do you have? Or if you've got any other questions for Jill. Jill, speaking about symptoms, so you've described some of the early stage symptoms, but I believe that when an Alzheimer's sufferer is in the advanced stages, the symptoms become quite severe, impacting a lot of their basic functions, including things like speaking and walking.
Yeah. I mean, everything it's possible for the brain to be stopped from doing, you will have that as the disease progresses. So, I mean, the back of the brain deals with sight. And if you say to somebody with dementia, pass me the cup, and they'll give you an orange, because they understand the pass me concept, but they've lost what now is an orange and what is a cup, and I'm not sure what those things are. So it really does depend on whereabouts in the brain is affected. It does spread everywhere. I mean, it can affect lots of different things. And literally, you will forget how to breathe. You know, blink, anything can be part of the disease. That is a big part of it, really, is that everybody's affected differently. You know, almost no two people go through this the same. They might have similar symptoms, but maybe at different times. So it's really hard for families to deal with. It's one of those diseases that you can't explain to the person what's happening to them, because they're not going to remember, and all that will do is upset them. So it's often best not to talk to them about the disease and how it's going to affect them. So it's a really difficult disease.
And speaking of family members, what kind of support groups and services are available for Alzheimer's sufferers' loved ones?
Well, I mean, that's what we're here for. We are a resource which can help with lists of homes, home care, daycare, respite care, doctors, support groups. I do quite a lot of family visits where we just get together and try and plan the way forward. So, I mean, that's what we're there for. We've got advice sheets about the disease, and we can meet with people, or they can come to the support group, and everybody has something that they're stuck on. You know, sometimes it's a silly thing that they're just really battling with their person, their loved one just won't sleep, or there's some weird thing that's causing the end of drama. And sometimes we can just talk about it and figure out another way to do things, or because we can't cure dementia, Alzheimer's. There is no cure, and it is progressive, so it is going to get worse. And, you know, if people can understand what the disease is and how it's going to affect their loved one, it does make it easier, I think. You know, it's not going to make it better by any stretch, but it will make it easier to not engage with them over something silly and try and prove the point that today's Friday when they think it's Monday. And you may very well get them to say, oh, okay, then, yes, it's Friday. And then 5 minutes later, so it's Monday today again. Mm. And then you start all over again, and it drives people crazy. But, you know, you have to learn how to deal with somebody with dementia, how to make it better for them, because that's what this is all about.
This WhatsApp says, my mother has started forgetting the names of things like books and food items. Mm-hmm. What is the next step? What should I do?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. I mean, there's probably more to it than that. If you think that there's a memory issue, it's always better to have the person assessed, because then at least you'll know what you're dealing with, because there are other diseases that cause similar symptoms. So it's always better to get that assessment. As soon as you start finding yourself saying, that was a bit strange, or no, she's not normally like that, you know, doesn't normally forget that, that's a bit of a warning sign that something maybe is different. So usually Alzheimer's and dementias are over 65, but a lot of younger people can get Alzheimer's. I've had a patient as young as 36. So it just is, you know, the sooner you do the assessment, the better, because we haven't got a great amount of medications, but they may be worth a try to see if they assist, you know, help the person. So the sooner they're assessed, the better, because then at least you know what you're dealing with, and you can then learn and read and figure out how you're going to plan for the future. you know, where is the person going to live? Who's going to take care of them? All those are big decisions that, you know, need to be thought about.
You're listening to Jill Robson, who's regional manager for the Western Cape at Alzheimer's South Africa. It is the health and wealth, health and wellness feature, I beg your pardon, on the lunch show. And of course, the focus today is Alzheimer's, in keeping with September, which is Alzheimer's Awareness Month. And we've just had a voice note from a listener.
Good afternoon. It's Jack here from Constantia. Very interesting talk on Alzheimer's. Is it possible to diagnose Alzheimer's in its earliest stage? And is there anything that one can do to prevent it? Thank you very much.
Jill, so Jack's question basically, is there any, because you discussed the symptoms of the early stages earlier, but is there anything that one can do to prevent Alzheimer's?
The short answer would be no. But there's a lot of research now into things that we can do that might make us less likely to get dementia or Alzheimer's. And they would be things like regular exercise, being engaged with people, being sociable, going to meetings, playing games with other people, healthy diet, obvious one really, mental stimulation, which is, you know, your Sudokus and your crosswords. The trick is not to just do the same thing all the time. Introduce different things into your mental things that you do. Good quality sleep is one of the most recent things that's been found to be beneficial. So good quality sleep, stress management, which we're all going through all the time, and especially this year,
especially
I think.
Now. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's important to try and find somehow a way to de-stress, because stress is very damaging. And it's one of those things where you don't really know what it's doing. It's sort of a, you know, insidious little, I don't know what you'd call it, but it gets in the brain and it can cause problems.
Yes.
And then obviously look after things like your vascular health, your blood pressure, and your cholesterol. So those are just a few things that have quite recently come up as being, you won't fix dementia or Alzheimer's, but you possibly could defer it. So instead of starting when you're 70, it might start when you're 85, which would be a whole lot better.
Jill, I'm going to ask you to stay on the line. We need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll be focusing on some of the treatment and care options available for Alzheimer's sufferers, and also more anecdotes from those of you who live with Alzheimer's sufferers. It's 23 minutes past 2. This is Lunch on Cape Talk. My name is Tessa van Staden. I'm standing in for Pippa Hudson on the Lunch Show. It is the weekly health and wellness feature, and today we're talking Alzheimer's, quite appropriately, because September is Alzheimer's Awareness Month. I, at the start of the show, mentioned the very moving film called Still Alice, which actually, as you all know, is based, most of you all know, is based on the book by Lisa Genova, which is very, very powerful. And I believe several listeners have WhatsApped to say that she's also written a book about Huntington's disease, which we're not talking about today. But coming back to Alzheimer's, I'm talking to Jill Robson, who's regional manager at Alzheimer's South Africa. We were talking about some of the symptoms and care options. Jill, let's go there. So once one is diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and if you have, say, early to medium stage symptoms, what are some of the options available to you and your family in terms of care?
Yeah, I mean, this is a process, you know, because it's an incurable progressive disease. So usually, let's say the person's been diagnosed relatively early and there is a spouse maybe or a family member that can take care of the person at home. That's usually the way people start off with this. And it's only when that starts to become difficult and sometimes impossible to do, because you have to remember all the people that are diagnosed are over 70, 80, and their partner's the same, and they've got other health issues going on which need to be taken into account. And suddenly, men who've never turned a washing machine on or a dishwasher or cooked have suddenly got to do it because the wife with Alzheimer's can't, and vice versa. So women who've never written a check because husbands do all the financial things. And so it's a big change that, you know, happens, and it helps a lot then, I think, if people can talk to somebody and try and get some advice. So it's a process. If they then decide, okay, no, getting them out of bed is too difficult, they can maybe get a carer for the morning to help them with just the breakfast and the bathing maybe, and getting them out of bed and organised. And then from there, maybe full-time care if they can afford it, if they can do it. Sometimes daycare can work. They've got a few daycare places, as well as respite care. Daycare, obviously, for the day, and then respite would be if the spouse maybe is going into hospital or needs to go away for the weekend, then the person could stay in respite care for a bit longer. And then the last option, obviously, would be a home as a full-time option. There is assisted living for some people with dementia, but for me, that's always a little bit tricky, because assisted living tends to mean that you have somebody for a very short time each day, and that may not be enough for somebody with dementia. You know, if they don't remember to eat or take the tablets or drink enough water, you know, all of those things can cause problems. So once they're in a home, obviously all of those things are dealt with and done for them.
Well, Ernie has just WhatsApped to say, I think that the family member who's doing the caring work needs a lot of breaks themselves, which is the point that you were making, Jill. Esty's message, she's listening from Qatar. She says, how much, in your opinion, can mild hyperbaric oxygen therapy help in terms of treatment during any of the stages of Alzheimer's? And I have to confess, I don't know what that is. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's things that you would use to get a diver back to normal pressure after they've been down under the sea. It's a tricky one. I've seen a couple of articles about it, but it certainly hasn't been something that I've picked up from any of the experts that we deal with all the time. So I would have to say I don't know, because there's not been enough about it, I don't think. I mean, whether there's any research going on, I'm not sure. It's certainly not come across my desk. So I would sort of be inclined to say it wouldn't make much difference.
So Zaka has called us from Panorama. Zaka, good afternoon. I believe that your husband is 68 and that he's just been diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
58,
I beg your pardon.
58, yes. And he's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And I was listening to her that, you know, things to be done to at least try to slow help with it, which is socializing and playing games and see people. But that's the things that my husband actually stopped doing. He was very sociable. He was full of life. He was always ready for a party. And since he got sick or starting showing beginning of Alzheimer's, he doesn't want to do those things. He doesn't want to see people. He doesn't want to socialize. He doesn't want to play games. Don't know. So I don't know what to do. We had him doing some therapy. But after about 10 sessions, I gave up, because he used to come out of the other headache, and it was a big fight because he didn't want to go back. So I don't know what to do.
Jill, any advice for Zaka?
Yeah, I mean, the things you mentioned, like the exercise, that's more about people that haven't got the disease, trying to keep off getting the disease. And what you're saying about your husband is absolutely typical. A lot of people with dementia do not want to be around other people because they're scared to show other people that they're not coping. And they might not even recognize the person that's with them. But the person's there thinking, he knows who I am, you know, it's fine. And imagine what it's like if it's potentially a family member and you don't recognize them, and having to say that you don't recognize them. Nobody with dementia wants to admit that they can't remember things. I mean, it's one of those, I had a friend with Alzheimer's, and I could tell every single time I went to the home, she used to sit with a chap and talk to him, and she would want the two of us to know each other. So every single time when I went, I would say, hi, it's Jill, I've come to visit you and Lionel. And then she would be happy because we've done that. Otherwise, she would just point at me and point at him and wouldn't be happy until I'd introduced myself and he introduced himself. So don't put too much stress on him to do the things he always did. His brain is not the same anymore. He's not going to want to do the same. He won't have the ability to keep major thoughts in his head to do lots of things. So the more pressure you put on him in so many ways, it'll make it worse. Try and find things that you and he can do that he was happy doing before, maybe going for a walk or looking through a magazine of a thing he's interested in, like fishing or, you know, whatever hobbies he might have had. But try and not do things that you know are going to tax him too much, because that will make him feel uncomfortable and often angry, because you're trying to make me do something and I can't do it, you know, because we tend to think, well, they always used to do that, so they'll be able to do that, but they can't now.
On this very, very important but difficult subject, that's Jill Robson, Regional Manager for the Western Cape at Alzheimer's South Africa. If you've got particular questions or you need more information, please email them, info@alzheimers.org.za.